fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here another week of Fire on the Earth, and today I'm especially excited to bring to you our own Sister Ann Shields. Sister Ann Shields from Food for the Journey, and my longtime friend and collaborator. I asked Sister Ann if she'd come on the program this week and be with us just to tell her story, which I think is an amazing one. I'm not sure how often she's taken the opportunity over the years on the radio to talk about it. She's such a good teacher, and she's much loved by all of you out there in the Catholic radio world, and she's much loved here at home as well. Welcome, Sister Ann.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's good to be with you in this kind of a situation.
Yeah, right. It's the first time we're doing this.
Yes, right? It is.
You just have such a wonderful story to tell, and God's worked so beautifully in your life and through hard times, through good times, everything. And I wonder if you'd be willing to tell us this morning sort of kind of how it all started and how did the Lord get you on the track that you're on? And
do we have 6 hours?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We don't.
Yeah, we have like 14 minutes.
Yes. I entered religious life at the end of high school. And I did so, and never having thought about it until I was probably 15 years old, had never even considered it. And the academy where I spent my last 2 years of high school always had a policy. I don't know if policy is the right word, but that every day between classes you would visit the Blessed Sacrament, if you could, just for a moment. And so on one of those trips to the chapel in between classes, as I've often told the story, I walked in not thinking anything in particular except to thank God for the day, that kind of thing. And when I walked out, I knew that I was being called to religious life. And I can't give you a word, nothing that I heard, just a very clear sense that has never left me. So it was definitely an action of God in my life. And so I entered religious life on completion of high school. And the first years of that, plus my final vows, made final vows in the community, and I was teaching, loved it, and that's a whole story in itself.
Teaching where? Were you?
I was teaching in grade school, then high school, then college, so I teaching in a number of different areas, but I loved it. I loved every minute of it, and at some point, things began to be difficult in religious life, particularly in the 60s and into the 70s, where there was a lot of opposition, shall we say, to the way things were done. Faith began to take on a new face that confused me, bewildered me. But some of these people involved my superiors that I had been taught I needed to obey. And so I was in a quandary without honestly even recognizing it as such. But there was a very difficult period in my life, and I became very depressed, which was alien to me as well. And I got good counseling, I got medicine, I got all those kinds of things, and they helped. I continued to teach and everything, but I really wasn't myself. And I couldn't put two and two together. I was perhaps too young to see it. But it dawned on me one day that a great part of the problem was that I was losing my faith. And here I was totally committed to Jesus Christ, and I was really doubting my faith because of all the turmoil. I had to begin to think through things in a way that I hadn't been required, in a sense, to do so before, to think, what did this mean, the way the community was going and the way I thought the church was going, and where did I fit into this picture? So to make a very long story short, I was praying one day, and I was walking through the convent, and I was looking out on a very February bleak kind of day, and I turned from the window, and it was when it really dawned on me that the crisis in me was a crisis of faith. And I turned from the window to just leave the room. And I walked into, honestly, what I would say was a man's chest. I couldn't see a thing. My first thought was, I've really lost it now. I'm out of reality.
No one was actually there, but it felt like someone was right there.
And I stepped back from the leaving the room. I just stepped back a few steps, and I thought, what? And I moved forward again, and the same thing happened. And I just was stunned, and I stood there, could see nothing. And then in my spirit, not audibly, but in my spirit, I heard, don't you know I've been with you all the time? And that's my first encounter, really personal encounter with the living God. And I was startled, obviously. But I thought, if that's so, if God exists, then I can persevere. I can come through this. And so I began to pull myself up and realizing that I was really dealing with crisis of faith. And did I believe or did I not? So that's a long story. I persevered in religious life, loved it, but there was this battle going on within communities, religious orders, the church, and it's continued even to today. So at some point, then I had to make some decisions because the community was such that there were many good sisters, many good, but the direction of the community was such that I could no longer follow it.
Yeah, there was a kind of identity crisis that happened in a lot of orders at that time, wasn't there?
Yes. Yeah. And then I encountered a sister in my community at the time who had been very good to me during this very dark, bleak period. And she said to me, they're having a prayer meeting at the seminary. She said, would you take me? Well, it was December, lots of snow, 27 miles up the mountain. But I couldn't say no to her because she'd been so good to me. So I went to three prayer meetings. The prayer meetings were led by Father Michael Scanlon, who was the rector of the seminary in the diocese at that time. And he had previously been baptized and experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so he was beginning to share and talk about it. Now, this is 1971. I took her and sat with my arms folded across, you know, because I just didn't have any confidence in anything new. That's part of the effect. I didn't know what to trust. So I took her to three prayer meetings, and she loved it, and she wanted to go back, and I couldn't say no to her, which, thank God, I couldn't. And so after the third prayer meeting, we left, and we were on our way home down a very icy mountain at about midnight, and you would have thought that I wouldn't have time to think of anything, but I kept thinking this thought. I want to give my life to God in a way I never have before, and I don't know what that means. I have no clue what that means. He has my life. He has my vows. He has everything. What more could I give? But it persisted. Next morning, I woke up with the same thing. Called a Carmelite sister who I had never seen since she entered Carmel. I didn't even know if you could talk to anybody. Called and asked if I could talk to her for a little bit. Right away, yes, you may come. I didn't know that they were all praying for all the people at the seminary who were having this meeting.
Okay.
So when I called her, she thought I was talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I couldn't have put those words on it. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I went, and make a long story short, she said to me, what do you want? What do you really want? And I said, I want to give my life to God in a way I never have before. And I don't know what that means. And her response was, why don't you just tell God that? So I wasn't quite used to that kind of spontaneous praying, but I said, God, I want to give my life to you in a way I never have before, and I do not have a clue what that means. Will you help me? I left about 36 hours later. I was walking out of our chapel on the way up to correct English papers. Start up the stairs, and right in the middle of walking up the stairs, not thinking a thing at that moment, it was like somebody poured water from the tip of my head. It was just like I was drenched in water. Only I used the image of water because that's the impression I had. But what it was joy. And while I had come out of the depression, there was still some kind of flatness in terms of my own emotional response. And I I thought, oh, dear God, I am really losing it. I mean, I knew God had been faithful, but that was that fear because I couldn't identify it. And I got to the top of the stairs and I said, God, if you're here, see how tentative I was, if you're here, please, what is this? This sense of water being poured over, what is this? I heard, not audibly, but so strong in my spirit, this is my Holy Spirit. So the combination of God's incredible mercy and the charismatic renewal, I really began to experience what I think God has for all of us.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about, we just have like 3 minutes left. You said, referring to the baptism of the Spirit, how would you describe, what is that? Some of our listeners might be scratching their head and saying, well, what is she talking about
exactly? What does that mean? I mean, we're baptized. What is this baptism in the Holy Spirit? It's not a new sacrament. It's not something different. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is activating all the gifts we received at baptism and confirmation. Mm-hmm. Especially in baptism, we're given the Holy Spirit, the gifts are in us, the potential for those gifts are in us. And as we go through First Communion and confirmation, we learn about those gifts. But so often it's intellectual understanding, but we don't realize all that God is intending through those sacraments is a personal relationship with us, so that he can lead us and guide us. And that means a surrender on our part. That means repentance on our part. It means a change of life sometimes on our part. But it's pure gift of God. But it was intended in baptism. It was intended in confirmation that those gifts be activated. But I think somewhere along the line, a lot of us have detached it. Oh yeah, I got my sacraments. I've got the certificates. In fact, even today, now people just say, okay, I'm done. I've got everything and I'm done. Yeah. And they leave the church and don't return when it's actually the beginning of a whole life.
You said that, you know, you prayed that prayer of wanting a different kind of relationship with God. You didn't know what that meant. You wanted to give your life to God in a different kind of way.
Yes.
And the part of your point is it led to this.
That's right.
And so would you say, when you talked about a personal relationship with Jesus, with Christ, would you say that was at the center of that experience? And what did that mean for you? Just got a minute and 20 seconds left.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay, well,
you don't have to hurry. We got more time tomorrow.
It certainly made an enormous change because this is not theological now, this is me. God became real. I've been taught that God dwells in me, that I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I've been taught to follow him more closely, to be his disciple. It was always theoretical. It was always simply in the mind. Actually, what God wants to do is take our whole person and make us more and more a temple of his Spirit, where he can be worshipped and adored, where he can be honored, where he can be lifted high, where he can be known and loved through each of us, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, that he might be revealed to the world.
Excellent. Thank you very much, friends. And that's exactly the relationship that the Lord wants to give to each and every one of us, to be able to, through the Holy Spirit, the grace of the Holy Spirit, to reveal Jesus to every human heart. And it's not just a grace that's for special people like Sister Anne. It's for every single person who's baptized into Christ. He loves you. He wants a living relationship with you. He wants a life-transforming relationship with you. Open your heart to him today and ask. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.